Welcome to the Secrets to Mindful Health, where we explore the hidden truths of wellness in all its forms. From physical and mental health to spirituality, join me, your host, Beth Warren, at Nourished by Beth on Instagram and TikTok, registered dietitian for over a decade and single mom of six, as I share my personal journey overcoming challenges towards self-love and wellness. Together with my guests, we will inspire and motivate you to prioritize your well-being and create a life of balance and fulfillment. Let's embark on a transformative journey towards a healthier, happier you. I'm glad you're here.
Is it video? In this episode, from Single to Soulmate, Jackie's Secrets to Mindful Relationships, with dating coach Jackie Glazer, founder of The Inner Circle, as she shares her journey from singlehood to finding true love. In this episode, Jackie discusses the importance of mindfulness in dating and how self-awareness can help overcome fears and insecurities. We also explore body image and self-acceptance, with Jackie offering practical tips for fostering confidence and embracing your authentic self. Whether you're navigating the dating scene or seeking to improve your relationship skills, this episode is filled with heartfelt advice and actionable strategies to help you approach love with intention and celebrate yourself along the way. Jackie previously ran a private practice in Sydney and served as the resident psychologist on a national current affairs show. After visiting Israel, she embraced Judaism and became observant. Jackie taught at Nevi Yerushalayim and worked in outreach with Olami for 12 years, holding various roles, including program director and educator. After many years of being single, Jackie married her soulmate and dedicated herself to helping other single women overcome their fears and be open to finding a wonderful partner. She is now a full-time dating coach and founded The Inner Circle, a holistic initiative providing singles with support to reach the chuppah, including therapy, coaching, matchmaking, and style advice. Jackie lives in Los Angeles with her husband, two stepdaughters, and their new baby, Ariella. You can find her on Instagram at Dating by Jackie J. Welcome, Jackie.
Wow, that was a mouthful. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I like to prepare.
Yes, it was very thorough. Thank you for having me.
Why don't we start off with sharing a bit about your journey? It seems like it had obvious influence over what you do now. And I'm curious, on the back end of that, what, you know, how that manifested for you over that journey to what you do now.
How far back do we want to go?
Tell me.
So, you know, I was from Sydney, Australia, as you mentioned, and raised there, but the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. And we were as far away as possible, I think, subconsciously, to keep safe, you know. And I really grew up in a very non-Jewish environment there. And at around age 29, my brother went to Israel and started exploring his roots and stayed there and sort of kept growing and became more observant. And I freaked out and thought he'd gone off the deep end. And I was on the Today Show at that time as a psychologist. So I thought, oh, it's the big sister's job to go rescue him. But I really had no idea about anything Jewish and what that meant. Really, I was very, very, very disconnected. So I went to Israel and took on all the rabbis and had my own journey, and really was blown away by a lot of the depth and wisdom of Judaism, and started growing a lot more myself in that way. Really found the roots of a lot of psychology in Judaism, which was shocking and surprising to me because I didn't really realize that. And I ended up living in Israel for 8 years. And at that time, I was now in my 30s and I just wasn't getting married, and it just wasn't happening, and it wasn't happening. And of course, you know, in the Jewish world, if you're not married, like by the age of whatever, 25, you're done. And it just wasn't happening. And I didn't know why, but I went through this very dark night of the soul kind of wrestling journey with the fact that I was single and I couldn't get married, and I wanted to get married. I really, really wanted to get married. And I just did deals with God. You know, when you're desperate, you make a deal with God. You know, you say, God, if you get me married, like, I'll help singles, you know, and I'll give back. I'll do something, you know, you sort of plea from that place, which is not how it is. Obviously, God's not punishing us. And long story short, I went to New York for 8 years after Israel to work in, you know, Jewish programming, spirituality, coaching, psychology. And well, I was there for 8 years, and I met my husband, and then I got married, and now I live in LA with him, and we're married nearly 6 years. And I started helping singles because I know in my heart, I had promised God that I would help, even though God does not need my help at all. But I did want to give back, and I thought I would do it like part time, you know, on the side and continue my regular job. But it turned into this overwhelming clarity that there's a need out there, and the fact that I'd been through the struggle, it was a strength. And so I actually was doing a class in partnership with a dating website once. I did, like, as part of my little contribution, and I did a class and we called it "There's Nothing Wrong With You, A Fresh Perspective on Dating." And over 300 and something people came to it without hardly any advertising because of the title. They don't know who I am.
Right.
And halfway through, they were turning off their cameras. It was a Zoom thing. And halfway through, they were turning off their cameras. I'm like, oh, ADD, they're checking emails, whatever. And after the whole thing finished, I got over 30 individual emails from people saying, "I'm so sorry I turned my camera off. I was bawling. I was bawling because no one speaks to us this way." I said, "Which way?" And they said, "Empowering. When you're single, there's an assumption that there's something wrong with you. Like, if you were just doing something right, or if you were just more this or that, then you'd be married. That's the premise, really, across the board. And if I just, what's wrong with me? Like, why aren't I lovable? Why don't guys like me? Why can't I get commitment? Why can't I attract the right people? Why can't, you know, like, that's deep down, that's what singles often feel. And like, it's their fault somehow. And so people feel broken from that assumption and that judgment. There's a lot of judgment, a lot of pressure. And I was sort of reframing it for people. And they were just so, it was such a fresh air, such a breath of fresh air, they said. And that's that I realized I have to go into it full time. So that's why I'm doing what I do now full time.
Wow. I felt a lot of that on many levels. And I was going to say that, first of all, what led me to you was your advice in dating coaching. And then as I'm watching you and being a follower, I'm like, wow, I need you on this podcast because this is a wellness podcast and just with different topics within the realm. And it is so aligning what you say, you know, like, I love that you lead from not only just your authentic self, but you're leading from within to out. You know,
yes.
Like, not only does it start from within, but it has to touch a chord within, and that, you know, affects the external versus focusing on external things. And I love that you just brought that up. What do I need to change? What do I need to fix? Like, how can I make myself better? How can I make myself chosen? Like, I was like, just, that's all, just put that aside. Actually. So I could understand that that was refreshing for a lot of people, but it probably also helped them feel seen. Because intuitively, we know that nothing's wrong with us, but yet we're made to feel like something's wrong with us. So you have this juxtaposition and this, like, I don't know, you know, and then that is the energy that comes out in dating is
Raving.
Like this
Correct.
Controversial, like, aura of, I don't know, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? But it's like, but you know you are, so just lead from that place.
But I would beg to differ. I would say that people don't know that they are, meaning we are good enough and we are lovable. That is the truth. However, for whatever reason, and there's a myriad of different reasons why, and why doesn't even matter. But when people are growing up, they were taught that they're not good enough in some other realm, like growing up. And they took on that belief system and believed it. And now in the dating arena, there's things that happen that trigger that already existing wound inside of us that I'm not good enough. And then I feel even worse because now I feel rejected, or I'm attracting rejection, or I'm looking for the wrong type of person, or blah, 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 subconsciously. But it resonates with me because deep down, I really do feel that way about myself, even though that is not the truth. So it's not the truth that we're not worthy and not good enough, but deep down, I might believe it because I was taught that, or experiences showed me that I was that. And you know what's really surprising to me? That I worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, now thousands probably at this point over the decades, that... And you wouldn't think this, but the school environment, I mean, it sounds obvious, but it's unbelievable how powerful and how formative, especially for women, the school peer group is. You would think by that point, once you're in school, particularly high school, that those core belief systems and like feelings about yourself are formed from the family. You, as a psychologist, I would have thought that, especially 0 to 3 is pre-verbal, right? We get an energetic sense about ourselves in the world from 0 to 3, early childhood, of course. But once you're a teen in high school, it is amazing to me how much work I've done with women. And then when we go back to a core, like core memory or a core belief system or a core feeling, what comes up is school. I was made fun of. I was kicked out of. I wasn't good enough. They're mean girls, blah, 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 blah. That whole mean girl thing is devastatingly destructive to a woman's sense of self because peers are so important to her. And it's amazing how many women, that's the thing that pops up from the subconscious. Like that's the memory that takes
that's
them there.
Interesting.
It is so interesting. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Firstly, school kids are brutal. And secondly, they're like affecting lives. Like, yeah, you don't think when someone's taunting someone.
A large part of your day and your life more than you realize they have influence.
Because and you're not formed yet. Like, you're still vulnerable. You're still impressionable. So you're sending your kid off to school as a parent and, you know, you love your kid and you're sending them to a good school and you think they're having a good day. And there's like taunting and teasing and little mocking and games and dynamics happening with friends, but they really could be hurting a person's self-worth and self-esteem.
Wow, that's amazing. And
it really is. It opened my eyes. But anyway, the good news is you can heal that once you start realizing that you've internalized, as you know, you've internalized these belief systems, and these belief systems can come out in all sorts of ways, right? As we know, with eating, and you project it on yourself. And I know we're going to get into all this, but yeah, your body, how you feel about yourself. And that's really an extension of how we really feel.
Yeah. I also feel like it's a system thing. You mentioned pressures and judgments, and of course, but sometimes just the system just feels very mechanic that you don't have ability to introspect. It's more about here's your, especially if people are going through the matchmaking world. That's why I love that you said you also do matchmaking. I would totally go to you as a matchmaker if you're this intuitive and very empowering, because it has to lead from that place. And then you decipher which ones you want to try, whatever, but it has to lead from that place. If it's very cold, you know, you're just already on a little bit of like a defensive, or like, are they going to choose me? Like, the nature is just very like, I choose this one, I don't choose that one. It's very like black and white. And what we're saying here is like a lot of color. It's a lot of color to feel. But what do you believe some of the fears and the blocks are? We already discussed the judgment aspect, the pressure aspect, but what are like internal blocks people might feel when it comes to finding love?
The two biggest blocks that I see over and over and over again that keep reappearing is lack of self-worth and lack of self-trust. Mm. They're the two. Meaning people don't know, they know intellectually that they're worthy, like you said. We know that we're worthy, but they don't feel it. And that's where, unfortunately, therapy will often fall short if it's talk therapy. Because talk therapy, you can get a lot of cognitive awareness and insight and understanding around dynamics and patterns and where it comes from, blah, blah, blah. But knowing why something's there and where it came from doesn't necessarily change it. And most of the women that come to me say, I've done therapy or I've done personal growth. I know what my issues are. I know where they came from. I know why they're there, but I can't change how I feel. And I'm like, well, let me show you how to do that. Meaning, because they're two different realities. Like, one is the head and one is the heart and the body and the subconscious. The subconscious reflects through the body. So when we learn to speak to the body differently, literally to the body parts, because they are representative, they reflect what's going on in the subconscious, then you actually can get into the subconscious. It's nearly like doing surgery through the body, getting into the subconscious that way. But if you just stay in your head going round and round, it's like a car spinning wheels, going round and round and round. And then you can just keep arguing different positions in different ways and going round and round and round. So anyone who's listening to this, who's ruminating and overthinking that type, is going to know what I mean. And this is so frustrating because it doesn't get you clarity. So the first one would be, self-worth, not really feeling good enough. I know I'm good enough, but I just don't feel it. So from that place of not feeling good enough, I'm either self-sabotaging, or I'm attracting the wrong person, or I get one and done, but I can't commit, or I get no dates because deep down I don't even feel good enough for that, you know, or I'm only attracted to the unavailable loop, right? That's a common one. There's different ways that will present the lack of self-worth, or obviously getting treated badly in a relationship and putting up with it. So the people pleaser will often attract that. And the other one is lack of self-trust. So even if you have the right person in front of you, I don't trust myself to make the right decision here. And that's where you run around to your friends and your family and get everyone's opinions, you know, and you keep running around. And no matter what they tell you, it doesn't satisfy you because it's not from you. No one can tell you who to commit to or not commit to. No one can tell you who to stay with or not stay with. It has to come from you. You can get insight and you can get advice, but you have to make that decision and it won't satisfy you otherwise. So we can learn how to trust ourselves, but it's a process. It's a process of being in tune with yourself and actually validating how you feel, knowing your feelings are not nothing. They actually count. They're important. Doesn't mean you follow every feeling, because you know, if your feelings aren't necessarily always true and accurate about what's happening, they might be triggers that you need to work through, but you have to listen to your feelings, you have to validate your feelings, and you have to align with them and work with them. And most people don't know what to do with their feelings. They're like, either push it away, I don't want to know about it, what's wrong with me? They judge it. We're so quick to judge ourselves, it's crazy. And that judgment keeps us stuck. As soon as you go into judgment about yourself, literally being judgmental, you're stuck. You cannot grow. And so the first thing we do with people is learn how to not bring in that judgment because it just clogs you up. You want to be compassionately curious. Oh, isn't that interesting that I feel uncomfortable around this guy? Let me explore that. Right? What actually makes me uncomfortable? Rather than what's wrong with me? He's such a nice guy. I should judge him favorably. I should be better. I should be nicer. I should be more accommodating. We judge and we override what we really feel, and then wonder why we can't trust ourselves, because you're not listening to yourself.
Right. It's like you're opening up the doors to your heart, so to speak. Like, meaning if you're so closed and not in touch with your heart and your inner being, how are you going to expose that to someone else so that they appreciate your heart? Like, you need to be connected to that internal world because that's what you're looking to connect with. And
it directly correlates, meaning we don't see things the way they are. We see things the way we are. Right. And so however we are literally will determine what kind of relationship we can have. And so that good news is that if we shift how we are internally, it will absolutely transform the quality of relationship because we attract what we are and not what we want.
Right. And it seems like what you're saying, the first step is to just connect with that. Like, meeting, that's a big ask. Like, people just are disconnected in that because, and this is also a question for you, it's uncomfortable for most. I always tell people the bravest thing you can do is go deeper inside yourself. Mm-hmm. Somehow seems like a very scary world. And I'm wondering if that's because of just, trauma that unfolds or things you have to sit with or face, like what's so scary? Like what's so uncomfortable? What's people's block in that? Why are they not feeling that they can sit with that to explore?
Wow, we're getting so deep, Beth.
I can't help it.
I love it. I love it. No, I love it. I wasn't expecting it. I was like, great, amazing. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh, I'm a very deep person.
Very deep. Yeah. I don't know you. So I was like, wow, this is cool.
I love introspection. It's like, really where the thing happens.
That's beautiful. I think it's because people are scared of themselves because they don't know how they're going to deal with certain feelings that are going to come up. So when I sit quietly with myself and I'm not having podcasts in my ears and I'm not having distraction and stimulation, I'm left to sit with whatever's there. And if I'm not okay with whatever's there, meaning I'm either scared of the feeling because I don't know how to deal with feelings because they weren't taught to me when I was young, which is very common, very, very common. I don't have that sense of emotional comfort with emotion, or I'm going to judge myself for having whatever I'm having, right? Again, a lot of judgment. I'm going to judge myself. Then I don't want to sit with my own judgment of myself. It's painful. So I'm just going to keep really busy and distracted. And most of the problems that we have that keep us stuck are because we are rejecting ourselves on some level. And there's three main ways we reject ourselves. One is through judgment, as I just said. The other is through suppression. I'm going to push it down. I don't want to feel it. And the third is through escape. I'm going to go into Netflix and shopping and alcohol and food and whatever else it is to escape what I'm feeling. So it's like there's three main areas. I even throw in blame as a fourth one. Like, if I blame someone else, I don't have to get to feel whatever's going on in my life. But those three or four ways are types of self-rejection that literally keep us stuck and miserable.
Right.
Yeah.
We did get deep. Okay. But how can we help let's just talk about that. Maybe some practical tips we could get people to start opening themselves up a bit more. Like, what process can they go through with themselves?
Compassionate curiosity. Look at yourself. Compassionate curiosity is the premise from how, like, if you start with me doing anything, that's the first thing we do. Isn't that interesting that I feel that way? Everything that goes on inside of you is data. It's giving you feedback about something for you to look at. It's a mirror. So we want to be able to treat it like data. Isn't that interesting? Like, you would look at data. Like, isn't that interesting? Rather than it's wrong. So the first shift is, it's not wrong. It's interesting. And what is that? Let me know more about that. I want to know more. So we want to turn towards ourselves in an attitude of embrace rather than rejection. If anyone takes away one thing from this podcast, it would be that point. Embrace yourself, turn towards yourself with embrace rather than rejection. And everything else will open up from there, because that is really like a plug. When people do that and they judge themselves like a plug and they stay stuck, and when they unplug that particular attitude, everything can open up. As long as you're not scared of it, you're not running away from yourself, and you're not pushing it down. Right. I just want to look at it with curiosity, and I want to say, okay, let's say I feel sad, right? Or I'm anxious. that's so interesting that I feel anxious right now. What am I anxious about? That's, let me feel into it. Let me explore it. Like, what am I actually anxious about? Well, I'm anxious that he's going to hurt me. Oh, that's interesting. Where else have I been hurt before? Right? Mm. Or is there any evidence or anything he's doing specifically to give me that feeling, to give me that sense? Is it something in the present moment, or is there a really deep charge from something else that's got nothing to do with the present moment? So the second thing I would say is separate between what's happening in the moment and the level of emotional charge. If the level of emotional charge is like 7, 8, 9, 10, it's very likely it's from something else, as well as whatever trigger is triggering it in the moment, right? So the way you can tell whether it's your stuff from the past is the level of emotional charge, right? It usually doesn't add up to what's actually happening. The charge is greater and you say, whoa, that was a really intense reaction. That might be tapping into other stuff that I'm meant to look at, right? Because this stuff comes up for us to integrate so that we can become more whole rather than it keep hijacking our lives and self-sabotaging things. Mm-hmm. So that would be the two things I would say. Number one is compassion and curiosity. And number two is work on embracing and accepting rather than rejecting parts of yourself or feelings or experiences, and explore it further.
Oh, I love that. And you're so succinct. It's great. I totally takeaway tips. Let's transfer into like this body image and self-acceptance you were saying we were going to touch on. I'd love to touch on this because I do nutrition, and I even contacted you on the premise on behalf of my dietitian self, who has these teenage girls come in saying that if her, and I'm not blaming anyone, it's not a blame game, but if her shadchan said if she loses 30 pounds, she could get more matches. If her, you know, her father's giving her pressure to lose a lot of weight because she's not getting married. And a lot of them say, blasé, I'm coming to you for help for them because this is how impressionable they are. They think that's normal. Like, yeah, it's because I need to get married and I'm supposed to lose like 30 pounds. And then I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, like, what happens once you start having children? Like, once you start having kids, like, I always say anyway in nutrition and weight management is that you always need motivations outside of, looks can be a part of the conversation, but you need a motivation outside of that or it won't be sustainable. And also it taps into this self-worth aspect and this, even if it's a subliminal message of I'm not good enough, right, and all of that. So how do you define that in the context of dating? And we're also have the understanding that we want to put ourselves together. It's not a question of that. It's that essence of I need to change myself in order to be chosen. Or how do you see it? You tell me.
Yes. So it's complex. Number one, it depends, obviously, the external. I come from a spiritual frame. Mm-hmm. So the external is a reflection of the internal, usually, on any level, not necessarily weight specifically. What we want to make sure is that the internal's in the right place first, because like you said, the external, nothing will change anyway if the internal's not in the right place. So the first thing is self-worth, self-love, self-compassion. That's number one. Weight can be a reflection of many different things, right? Like it's not, you can't just pigeonhole it into one box. So someone has to explore, what is my relationship with my body? What is my relationship with my weight? Some people use their body as an expression of their own self-hatred. Some people use their body as a boundary. It's like, if I put on weight, then it's a boundary. It's a very, very common subconscious boundary for many women to protect themselves because they've needed protection. It's a survival mechanism and it's important. You don't just want to rip that away. But then how do we resolve that? And also the idea that, you know, again, from a spiritual frame, we put in our maximum effort to do our best in any given situation, whether it's getting a job, whether it's dating, whatever it is, but the outcome's up to God. Like the outcome's up, I'm not in control of the outcome. I could just put in my best effort and let go, right? Let go, let God, surrender. That's my approach. And that works very powerfully, but you have to put in your practical effort according to, you know, the normal way of the world. So for dating, you want to look your best on all levels. You want to know how to put yourself together with style and makeup and hair, as much as whatever's relevant for you and whatever's authentic for you, not to fit into a box or look like an image, but whatever's authentic for you to feel your best self. Yeah. And that's why I have this beauty series, by the way. I literally just started to do it. We haven't done it yet, but because it's a bit out of context, like I do all the inner work. Why are we doing that? Because it's important to have balance. It's important to have your external reflects your internal and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You have to work on both. It's balanced. Yeah. And the external counts. I hate to say it. Yes, we're going to be loved for who we are inside. And your spouse that you marry in the end, of course they're going to love you for who you are, not dependent on how many pounds you are. I mean, that's insane, right?
Right.
But the outside matters, meaning I want to look my best for my spouse. I want to be my best for my spouse. I want to, you know, like, it's like a part of caring for each other. It's part of caring for yourself, you know, right, to take care of yourself on every level, including the physical. So the physical counts. It's just not, it's not a definition of self. And I think that, that's the approach. The physical counts. It's just a reflection. It's an expression of you. It's not a definition of you. And most people, unfortunately, in our society define themselves by their body, because we are told, and look, everywhere we look, we are told that if you have a great body, you're going to be happy and successful. And the proof that that's not true is that the people with the best bodies and the most power and the most wealth are the most miserable, right? Celebrities are the most miserable in the sense of the most dysfunctional lives, no marriages, work, the kids are off, whatever. Like, it's a crazy chaotic life, addictions, suicides, deaths. You know, they're the highest percentage by far in all the breakdown of all the things that the values that a lot of people value, you know. So, and they have the best looks and the best bodies and the best, most money and the most power. So, right. But we've been tricked into this illusion, and I'm talking to myself here, right, where we have to separate from that and know that we're far deeper than that. We're a soul. We have an essence that's much deeper than the body. And I start to learn to identify with that. You're much deeper than your body, and your body changes over. My body is ain't the body that I had when I was 20.
Right.
You know, your body literally goes into a decline over the period of your life, and it sags and sags and sags and gets wrinkly and blubbery and whatever, and cellulite. Yeah. And why does God do that? Because it's a very deep idea. If we're going deep again, because we're meant to detach from identification with the body over our lifetime, slowly, 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 slowly. So by the time we die, we can transition to the next world without the attachment to the body. It's a slow letting go of the body. God is doing it very gently over time, slowly declining the body so that we no longer define ourselves by the body. It peaks in your 20s when you're young, 20s, 30s, and then it really declines off to, I start to develop, my identity is not attached to my body anymore. My identity is my values, what difference I'm making in the world, who I am, my character, my love relationships, who's important to me. That's what defines me. And it's so beautiful that it's just happened so gently, you know, that we're meant to gently let go. And people, you see the most miserable people are the people that fight against age and try to battle it, right, rather than embrace it. So it's not about having always the best body, but it's about being healthy and about self-love and about taking care of yourself on every level, because you're worthy and you're good and you love yourself and you care about your spouse and you want to look your best on all levels, you know. Yeah. And if we've got to find that place inside that can treat ourselves from that place, so that therefore then everything else, I think, takes care of itself, meaning you put in the right effort and you do it for the right reason and the effect will come from that place.
Yeah. Ah, it's like you answered all my questions in one. It was amazing. So I'm breaking it apart. Number one is I just turned 40. So I really valued what you just said about the decline, because they always say 40. Because it's like overnight it hits. And that just felt so connecting to me and special. I think that's my takeaway from the whole thing, even though I need the dating advice too. So that felt really special. But I think what we're saying here is that of course, the external matters in this conversation, but the intention behind it is different. And the purpose behind it might not be, you know, is not on a superficial level. It's just a reflection of what we're consistently saying in this episode of what is going on for you inside and how that is what attracts you. So yes, it might be related to how they are attracted to you externally, but it's because it's a reflection of the internal and the whole circle. I think I'm getting it now, Jackie.
You really got it.
Intuitively, I always understood that kind of stuff. And I love when people come to me, because I am all about self-care. It's like what I devote a lot of my platform to now is more just self-care messages, because I always said that anything managing your weight is always related to, self-care, like preparing yourself a salad. The only way you're able to do that with the chaos of your life is if you do it in a way, because you want to take care of yourself. Like, it feels nice to take care of yourself. So that is where the effort then comes from to make the salad. That's why I always say it can't just be a number on the scale, because that's not connecting when the chaos of your life. That is black and white. That's when everything's perfect in the world and you could just follow something and then the scale reflects that. But that's not real life. So what else can you tap in and connect to in order to make the changes you need and take care of yourself? So I always say it comes from a place of self-care. And I also say that even weight goals come from a place of self-love. And people always get very surprised by that. And I cut people off with their language all the time. Even first meeting me, they're very taken aback. But I cannot have you self-hating talk happening in my office. We need to explore that more. But of course, they sit by my desk like, I'm so fat. I can't handle that. I'm just disgusting. I can't even look at myself. Like, I hear I'm like, one second. This is only will be successful if we find that place of self-love and actually appreciation to some extent of your body. That's what felt so connecting with what you shared about the external aspect reflecting internal and then what you're attracting, because it's an external message without the pressure of the looks, if that makes sense.
Yes. It doesn't define you. So when a single shows up and says, I need to lose weight or I can't get married, firstly, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's not about changing yourself so that you're lovable. That's the mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm lovable and I want to make a difference or change myself because I care about myself, meaning this isn't the best version of me.
I care about myself and I want someone to therefore care about me.
Well, someone will, because you care about yourself.
Right.
And also, like, you know, men are visual. They are. They're more visual than women. We know that. They're more visual than women. And if I care about wanting my own partner, husband to... if I care about him, I'm going to want to care that, you know, to look nice for him, you know, but not because that makes me lovable and I'm not lovable without that. That's the mistake. That's absolutely not that. If that's going on, leave, right? That doesn't make me lovable. I'm lovable no matter what. Now that I'm lovable and good and worthy, so now, of course, I want to do something to make myself look my best for my partner, whatever that is, right? Some men care more and some men care less about also, you know, weight and whatever. And women care. It's not a one-way thing. So I think it's more like, okay, let's establish we're lovable, good, and worthy no matter what. And now from that place, let's look at what we need to do to just improve things. You know, it feels very different that way.
Very, very, very different. Like, I just feel so good about this whole conversation, like in a way that I hope people looking to attract love and find their person. I call it their person, soulmate, whatever. But to find their person, feel just good in it. Like you said, you're very empowering, but it's a self-empowerment that you bring out in people, which is so beautiful. So you have to leave everyone with a message. I mean, I feel like you just encapsulated it, but I love the way you put things. So what other
messages? Yeah, I was going to leave another tip because I think this is really important to practice that self-compassion, which I think is the foundation of everything for everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with. Is ask yourself, tune in, like close your eyes just for a minute or 20 seconds and just take a deep breath and say, what would feed me today, emotionally, physically, or spiritually? What would feed me? Feed me means give me energy, not just food, but what would give me energy today, emotionally or spiritually or physically? And then an answer will pop in your head without thinking. So don't think about it. Just see what would feed me today and see what pops into your head. And then I want you to do that thing later in the day or whenever you can. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a little thing. It could be like your favorite drink, a little walk in the park. It could be whatever it is. I want you to do that thing. And when you're doing that thing, this is very important, I want you to say aloud to yourself in a whisper, I'm doing this because you're important and because I love you. As you're doing that very thing, say to yourself, or you can think it if it's too weird to say it, I'm doing this because I love you to yourself and you're important. Now that sounds a bit weird, I know. And if it feels weird, just let it feel weird, but do it anyway. And the more you do that once a day, I want everyone to do that once a day, that will literally rebuild your self-worth and your self-trust, because you're rewiring your belief system as you're putting something into action and saying it, and let yourself feel the goodness of what it feels like to actually say that and then do something that you asked for earlier in the day. And you're doing that thing because you're important. You're actually following through with integrity, with yourself, and that builds self-worth and self-trust. And you're listening to yourself, which builds self-trust. So we're doing self-worth, self-trust together in that one exercise. Do it once a day. Say it aloud. Let yourself feel good as you're doing it. Like, it has to be visceral as well, not just intellectual, right? I'm doing this because I love you and because you're important. And then feel how that feels when you do that. It feels usually warm, like a warm, or like just a little bit warm, a little bit more expansive. I want you to get the visceral shift. That's rewiring your brain and it will build self-worth and self-trust.
Oh, I love these tips because, you know, like you said, it becomes very, then we get stuck in our head, but how do we do that? And that is so doable.
It's so doable.
It might be hard to tap into, but it's doable. It's very doable because you're also not saying what you need to do, or you need to only need to plan it. You just need to feel it in the moment and then act on it. I love that.
One thing.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Everyone can follow you on Instagram at Dating by Jackie G. Mm-hmm. Dating at. Dating by Jackie G.
Yeah. Thank you.
And how else can they follow you and your inner circle work? How can they work with you?
Yeah, Instagram is the best. I'm there. I'm in my DMs. You can DM me if you want. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, and you do Q&As and you like answer everything. Just so I love it.
Yeah.
I listen to all your Q&As. Keep doing that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for the amazing deep work you do.
Oh, thank you. I try. All right. Thanks for coming on.
Have a good day. Bye.
Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Nourished by Beth, or listen on Spotify at the Secrets to Mindful Health podcast.